This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, August 16th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
There are renewed hopes for a de-escalation of trade tensions as the U.S. and China plan to resume talks.
China's currency rebounds while U.S. futures and European equities gain.
Turkey receives a financial lifeline from Qatar while the standoff with the White House continues.
President Trump has stripped the security clearance of former CIA Director John Brennan. Plus, jury deliberations begin this morning in Paul Manafort's trial. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower on sports. Rough night for the Yankees. Lost 6-1 to Tampa Bay. Mets won 16-5 in Baltimore. Jets and Redskins play tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
U.S. futures and European equities are gaining while the dollar weakens. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 115, NASDAQ futures up 42, the DAX in Germany is up 0.25%, CAC in Paris up 0.5%, FTSE 100 up 0.6%, 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.87%, yield on the 2-year 2.61%. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.60 to $1,186.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1370, the yen 110.82, and the Turkish lira is at 5.7978. And this data check brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. Bob.
Hopes are rekindled for a de-escalation of trade tensions. With word, the U.S. and China will resume talks on trade. Bloomberg Chief Asia Economic Correspondent Enda Kernan has the latest from Hong Kong.
China will dispatch Vice Commerce Minister Wang Xiaowen to the U.S. this month for talks with counterpart David Malpass, the Undersecretary for International Affairs at the Treasury. Economists, however, caution that the low-level talks don't yet indicate a breakthrough in what many expect to be a more protracted and long-lasting trade dispute between the world's two biggest economies.
So far, the Trump administration has imposed tariffs on $34 billion of Chinese goods. Beijing has responded in kind.
Optimism around these talks is somewhat muted due in part to who's participating in the discussions, Bloomberg's Jody Schneider explains.
China, for instance, is sending a vice commerce minister rather than a vice premier like at previous talks, and the U.S. delegation will be led by an undersecretary for international affairs at the Treasury Department rather than cabinet secretaries who had led talks in the past. One analyst put it this way, that it will be talks about talks to see if there's appetite to have higher level discussions on the trade dispute.
The White House is scheduled to impose another $16 billion in levies on Chinese goods next week.
China's yuan is stronger following word of those talks, while stocks in Asia posted declines today. We get details from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
The CSI 300 closed lower by 0.5% after earlier being in the black, while the offshore yuan rose for the first time in 7 days on tighter liquidity and as the PBOC set its daily reference rate for the onshore currency stronger than expected. 10 cents disappointing earnings weighed on the Hang Seng Index, while consumer stocks were hit hard in Japan after tourist growth slumped to its slowest rate in more than 5 years in July. The Nikkei 225 was marginally lower, but the broader topics lost 0.6%. The sell-off continued in Indonesia, emerging market stocks nearing a bear market. The MSCI Emerging Markets Index down more than 5% in its 7-day run of declines. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. In Turkey, the lira is stronger today after the country received a financial lifeline from Qatar. Bloomberg's Simon Demirkan reports from Istanbul.
Qatar has pledged $15 billion worth of direct investments in Turkey. With the pledge, Turkey is reaping the rewards of standing by its wealthy Arab ally, while Gulf nations, led by Saudi Arabia, cut off diplomatic ties with Qatar last year. In Istanbul, Simin Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Simin, the U.S. and Turkey remain at a standoff. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders says tariffs on Turkey will stay in place, regardless of whether American pastor Andrew Brunson is freed.
Tariffs from Turkey are certainly regrettable and a step in the wrong direction. The tariffs that the United States placed on Turkey were out of national security interest. Theirs are out of retaliation.
Trump administration officials say there are currently no talks scheduled with Turkish officials.
And Turkey's finance minister holds a call with investors this morning where he may provide clues about any action to shore up the country's markets. Sources tell Bloomberg that call is set for 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
In the U.K., retail sales bounced back strong in July, rising by 0.7%. Estimates called for just a gain of 0.2%. The increase was led by online sales, food, and clothing.
Let's turn to corporate news now, beginning in Europe, where shares of Atlantia are down more than 25%. Atlantia is the company that operates that bridge in Italy that collapsed this week, killing at least 39 people. We go live to London now for the latest with Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. This is a record price decline for the company. It's seen almost a quarter of its value wiped out. And it's also seen some corporate bonds hit a record low. This is the Italian government begins the process of revoking Atlantia's toll road concession. It's thrown the company into its largest shareholders, the Benetton family, into a fight to salvage its investment and protect its fortune. This amid rising anger over the tragedy. Atlantia said today that government officials' decision to start the process came prematurely without any verification of the material causes of the accident. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Sebastian. Shares of Bayer, known as Bayer here in the U.S., are down 5%. That's after a court allowed California to list the weed killer Roundup as a known carcinogen. Roundup is produced by Bayer's Monsanto unit.
Tesla has received a subpoena from the Securities and Exchange Commission. Ed Ludlow has details from the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
At the heart of the subpoena and SEC inquiry is Musk's August 7th tweet that funding had been secured to take Tesla private. The question is whether Musk breached any rules by dripping details out to investor by tweet and without giving any details to back up the claim. The average SEC investigation takes 2 years, and importantly, the SEC has not accused Musk or Tesla of any wrongdoing. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ed, thank you. S&P futures at this hour up 13 points. That is 0.5%. The 10-year yield at 2.8786%. And this is Bloomberg. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. The president takes action against an outspoken critic. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Donald Trump has revoked the security clearance of former CIA Director John Brennan, who has been a vocal critic of the president. Security clearances for a number of other former and current officials who have been critical of Trump are being reviewed. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders denies Trump is targeting his political critics.
The president has a constitutional responsibility to protect classified information and who has access to it. And that's what he's doing, is fulfilling that responsibility in this action.
Both sides are weighing in. Former CIA and NSA Director Michael Hayden says it sounds like an effort to silence the president's critics.
The way that Sarah Huckabee Sanders rolled this out was almost in a tone to be threatening to the rest of us.
Republican Senator John Kennedy backs stripping the clearance.
I don't mean to be ugly, but I think that Mr. Brennan has just demonstrated repeatedly he's just a political hack.
Kennedy says Brennan has given the national intelligence community a bad name. Jury deliberations begin today in the bank and tax fraud trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager is in Washington.
The jury will weigh two sharply differing views of the evidence they've heard over the last 2+ weeks. In closing arguments, prosecutors painted Manafort as a tax cheat who lied to banks to obtain $20 million in loans, while Manafort's attorneys argued the government's case was so thin they relied on an admitted felon, one-time deputy Rick Gates, to frame his former boss. Manafort's case is the first to go to trial for special counsel Robert Mueller, who's investigating Russian meddling in the 2016 election. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brexit negotiations resume today in Brussels after their summit pause, with much still left to be resolved ahead of the October deadline. Bloomberg's Ian Wishart is in Brussels.
Officials from the UK and the European Union will tussle over the issue of the Irish border and the other thorny topics still the subject of disagreement in the Brexit divorce treaty. Officials know time is running out, and today's resumption of discussion signals the start of an intense two-month period that will decide the UK's fate. In Brussels, Ian Wishart, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Night to forget about for the Yankees. They called up Luis Sessa to replace the injured CC Sabathia. Sessa likely on his way back to Scranton. He's been given a number of these opportunities, has failed to take advantage, roughed up early, gone by the fourth inning after a Malik Smith two-run homer made it 5-1. The Rays won 6-1. The Yanks managing only a Miguel Andujar home run. They had only four other hits. Mets, meanwhile, with a rare laugher in Baltimore. They had 19 hits and won 16-5. Grand slam for Kevin Plawicki. Todd Frazier and Wilmer Flores both homered, a combined 7 RBIs from them. And Brandon Nimmo went 5-5.
Nights like these, you just kind of want to bottle up and live in them forever, because it's pretty special. Was finding barrels and was able to find some pulls as well. So, you know, it was a great night, and really excited about it and the team win.
Nimmo had two doubles and a triple, scored three runs, and drove in three. Preseason football tonight in Washington, Jets and Redskins. They've been working out together all week, just as the Giants have been doing in Detroit ahead of their game tomorrow. Eli Manning using these combined workouts as a way to prepare for his 15th season.
Well, I feel good, but, you know, I know we still got work to do. And I think it's great, you know, like that, going against a different defense, going against different coverages. It tests, you know, tests your progressions and getting through things and making, you know, good decisions. So, you know, feel very comfortable, but, you know, there's still always room to grow.
The season begins against Jacksonville, whose star cornerback Jalen Ramsey just made disparaging remarks about a number of NFL quarterbacks, including Eli. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Football on Facebook. Facebook has acquired the rights to broadcast Champions League soccer matches in Latin America, that football. The social network will air 32 live matches each season through 2021, including the final and UEFA Super Cup. Facebook announced a similar deal earlier this week with Spain's top soccer division, La Liga. S&P futures up 13 points. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Trade talks will start over, but at a low level. China will send a delegation led by its vice commerce minister to DC this month at the invitation of the US. It's the first official exchanges since negotiations broke down 2 months ago. Turkey's Treasury and Finance Minister will address foreign investors on a conference call at 9 a.m. Wall Street time. Separately, local media reports that Turkey has opened a legal case against U.S. tariffs at the WTO. Shares of Atlantia are getting hammered in Milan. That's after Italy's government began the process of revoking its license to run highways after the bridge collapse that killed at least 39 people. And President Trump is linking his move to revoke John Brennan's security clearance to the Mueller probe. Mr. Trump tells the Wall Street Journal the ex-CIA chief was among those responsible for the investigation. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah George, thank you. S&P futures up 13 points this morning. Dow futures up 146. NASDAQ futures up 49. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds. Yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year 2.61%. NYMEX crude oil little change at $65.01 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2%, up $1.90 to $1,186.80 an ounce. The euro $1.1372. The yen 110.89, and the Turkish lira at 5.7913. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, jury deliberations begin today in Paul Manafort's tax and bank fraud trial. Prosecutors depicted Manafort as a man who failed to tell tax authorities about millions of dollars he stashed overseas and later lied to banks so that he could obtain $20 million in loans. Manafort's lawyers depicted him as the innocent victim of his right-hand man, Rick Gates, who they say embezzled millions of dollars and lied to jurors to avoid prison. Experts say hailstorms are going to get more expensive. This year is expected to be the 11th in a row in which the cost of storm damage in the country exceeds $10 billion. In baseball, the Yankees lost, along with the Red Sox. The Mets slammed the Orioles 16-5. The A's, Giants, and Nationals lost. NFL preseason action tonight. The Jets are at the Redskins. The Patriots host the Eagles. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And good morning. It is 6:20 on Wall Street. Walmart is set to report second quarter results before the market opens this morning. What will analysts be watching for? How's the focus online going and the spruce up spending and other moves by the world's biggest retailer recently? Joining us is Jennifer Bartashas, senior U.S. retail analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Jennifer, let me start with the online focus, because that has been a big part of Walmart's direction lately. They've redesigned their website. They're trying to get people in to do store pickup and that sort of thing. Is that all working?
Good morning. Yes, for Walmart, they definitely are on a positive trajectory with regards to their online strategy. And so the things that you mentioned, the redesign, the way to get people to come into stores, are all helping them build that very important online sales part of their business. And there will be a lot of focus on that result this morning. At the same time, we can't lose sight of how important it is for their stores to actually perform well, because online sales are still a very small part of Walmart's overall revenue.
Any kinks in those moves? I've never really been able to understand how that benefits them by trying to get customers to buy first and then go in and pick it up. I'm one of those people who just wants to run in and get it.
Well, yeah, the idea is that once you get to the store and you're already out of your car and you're inside picking something up, most of the time the pickup location is not directly at the front of the store. So you have to go through parts of the store in order to get your items. And the idea is that while you're in the store, you'll also pick up a few things and then check out with those as well. And so that's part of the strategy that they're pursuing.
Are they firing on all cylinders when it comes to inventory and management and that sort of thing?
They've made a lot of improvements with regards to their inventory management. So they've managed to streamline their operations so that the inventory levels are lower than they've been, and yet at the same time, the availability of items on the shelves for customers to buy are much higher than they were historically. And that's a lot of work that's happened behind the scenes, but it's something that benefits consumers, and it also keeps costs lower for Walmart.
I envision sort of a big battleship when I think of Walmart. Are they able to move the ship quickly enough to deal with Amazon.com?
Well, you know, it's an accurate representation of how it can be very slow to move such a large entity. But one of the larger problems that Walmart faces is that the natural instinct for many people in the United States, at least, is to go to Amazon first to check for something. And so one of the biggest issues that Walmart may face in growing that online sales significantly is changing consumer behavior so that it's not always automatically to Amazon that people go to. So with regards to assortment, with regards to price, Walmart is very, very competitive. It's just a matter of changing that consumer initial behavior.
So that's what that online pickup component is then, in a sense, competing with Amazon.com on this instant gratification thing. Yes, they can ship it to you maybe later in the day or tomorrow, but you can go get it right now at Walmart.
That's part of it. It's also a practical way for Walmart to use the advantage they have of their actual physical stores. So Amazon, if you order something, it has to come from some sort of distribution center or a warehouse and then get delivered to you. For Walmart, they have all of these stores all over the United States, and the majority of the American population lives within about a 10-mile radius of a Walmart. So if they can use those stores to fill customer demand, that results in better customer service, lower costs, and it really does enable them to compete with Amazon.
Very quickly, just a few seconds left here. Is the picture going to be good today for Walmart?
The picture should be good. With regards to same-store sales, if they miss estimates, even with a solid number, it could drive the stock to move a little bit just because it is such an important part of their business.
Jennifer Bartashis is Senior U.S. Retail Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. S&P futures at this hour up 12 points. That is almost 0.5%. 10-year Treasury prices down 430 seconds. The yield is up to 2.8768%. And checking the Turkish lira this morning, it is trading up 2.75%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime, New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are rising while the dollar is weakening on renewed hopes for a de-escalation of trade tensions. China will send officials to the U.S. for low-level trade talks this month. It's the first official exchange since negotiations broke down 2 months ago.
Turkey's lira is rallying for a third day after Qatar pledged $15 billion in investment to help Turkey's economy. The country's treasury and finance minister holds a call with investors today at 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
Shares of Cisco Systems are up almost 7% in early trading. The company gave a bullish forecast for the current quarter and posted higher than expected quarterly profit.
Walmart leads four companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The giant retailer is focused on improving its store operations and keeping prices low. And Bloomberg Intelligence says the chain likely saw solid same-store sales growth in the second quarter. Other initiatives, such as expanding online grocery service, adding click-and-collect locations, and the expansion of home delivery should help Walmart achieve its growth goals for the year. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. In Europe, shares of Atlantia are down 25%. That's the company that operated the bridge in Italy that collapsed this week. The Italian government has started the process of revoking its license to run highways.
And in the UK, retail sales bounced back as warmer weather and extended discounts encouraged shoppers to open their wallets. Sales gained by 0.7%.
And the investigation into Elon Musk's tweets about taking Tesla private has reached a more serious stage. Bloomberg has learned the electric car maker received a subpoena from the SEC.
It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. That is time for your Volatility Index report. And the VIX rose yesterday to close at 1464. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently heading lower. It is at 1380. That's this morning's Volatility Report.
S&P futures are up about 12 points this morning. Dow futures up 139 and NASDAQ futures up 46. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. The CAC in Paris up 0.5% and the FTSE 100 up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 430 seconds, yield 2.87%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.61%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 7 cents to $64.94 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up less than 0.1% or 70 cents to $11.85.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1367 and the yen 110.88. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. Access denied. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the security bosses who might be left out in the cold. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Trump has released a list of names of former intelligence directors who might have their security clearance canceled. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
At the top of the list is former CIA Director John Brennan, who did get his yanked. They say erratic conduct and behavior. Nine people, including James Comey, on that list. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders.
Once again, this is looked at on a case-by-case basis, and we'll do an individual review and make that determination.
So is this a threat? Well, Brennan says he'll continue to speak out.
I do believe that Mr. Trump decided to take this action, as he's done with others, to try to intimidate and suppress any criticism of him or his administration.
James Clapper also says he will not change a thing he says. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The jury in the Paul Manafort tax and bank fraud trial will begin deliberations this morning. Manafort's lawyers didn't present a single witness in their case. Instead, they argued the government didn't meet its burden of proof. President Trump and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo are having a war of words over making America great again. Cuomo, at an event in New York City last night, said, "We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness." Cuomo followed by saying this:
"We will reach greatness when discrimination and stereotyping against women, 51% of our population, is gone."
Trump tweeted, "Can you believe this is the governor of the highest taxed state in the U.S., Andrew Cuomo, having a total meltdown?" Italians search for answers in the bridge collapse that killed at least 39 people in Genoa. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello has more from Rome.
The company that managed the bridge says it fulfilled its obligations. But many Italian government officials disagree and say the company's profitable highway operating concession may be revoked. Some Italian politicians have raised questions about European Union restrictions that they say may limit spending on safety measures. The EU has pushed back against those statements and said it won't engage in finger-pointing over the Genoa Bridge tragedy. In Rome, Kevin Costello, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. It is now 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Steshauer.
Morning, Bob. The Yankees pretty much know what's going to happen. They're not going to catch the Red Sox. They're 10 games behind. They are probably going to be in the one-game American League wildcard playoff game. They're 6 games ahead of Seattle. So manager Aaron Boone, after a 6-1 loss to Tampa Bay, took stock of where things stand.
It is a difficult part of the season for us, but I feel like the guys' frame of mind, I think to a man in that room, everyone understands how much we're capable of. And certainly, you know, as we become more and more whole, hopefully over the next couple of weeks, hopefully we put ourselves in a really good position here to finish strong these final 6-7 weeks of the regular season and give ourselves a chance, hopefully come October.
Boone started Luis Sessa last night. That didn't go well as the Rays knocked him out in the fourth inning. Day game today at the stadium. The Mets will have a doubleheader in Philadelphia. They just beat up on the Orioles in Baltimore, winning 16-5. A 19-hit attack with Brandon Nimmo going 5-for-5. Mets put it away with a 9-run sixth inning. Baseball's hottest hitter, Atlanta's 20-year-old rookie Ronald Acuna. 8 home runs the last 8 games. He had led off each of the last 3 games with a home run. As he led off last night, got hit in the elbow. First pitch thrown by Miami's Jose Urena, the Atlanta manager, Brian Snitker.
I think it's pretty evident what I thought about it. It's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
This young man is just playing the game, doing what he loves to do, and that's just a damn shame what happened that first pitch of the game.
Acuna injured his elbow, had to leave the game. The Braves won without him. Preseason football tonight, Jets in Washington. We'll see how rookie quarterback Sam Darnold does. Impressive in his debut last week. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
John, thank you. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Household toilets, one of the most important medical advances of the past 2 centuries, may be taken for granted in many parts of the world. But in places where they're lacking, people continue to die needlessly from diarrheal infections. The recent emergence of antibiotic resistance has made a terrible problem far worse. Now more than ever, sanitation must be a public health priority. Some 4.5 billion people live without proper toilets. In such conditions, fecal germs pollute the environment, contaminating food and drinking water. Many people carry multi-drug-resistant bacteria in their intestinal tracts. Investing in toilets with sewage infrastructure can thus be money well spent, if people can be motivated to use and maintain them. Success would reduce the spread of dangerous microbes, including drug-resistant ones. While all efforts against antibiotic resistance are essential, improvements in sanitation can make great progress at relatively little cost. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. The Supreme Court is expected to take up 2 death penalty cases next term. And with the retirement of Justice Anthony Kennedy, who's often swing votes on the High Court, it's unclear how his possible replacement will rule. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh may have served the past 12 years as a judge, but he's had relatively little criminal justice experience.
We at least don't have any clues in terms of opinions that Kavanaugh has written on the D.C. Circuit, because he heard relatively few criminal cases just because of the types of cases that make their way to the D.C. Circuit.
Bloomberg Law's Jordan Rubin says the 2 cases coming up for review this fall both deal with the 8th Amendment, which bars cruel and unusual punishment. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It's now 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. The Trump International Hotel and Tower in Chicago is being sued by the state of Illinois for jeopardizing aquatic life in the Chicago River. A lawsuit by the state's attorney general, Lisa Madigan, says the company's 98-story building next to the main branch of the Chicago River uses almost 20 million gallons of river water daily to cool its heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems, and then releases millions of gallons of heated water back into the river without any regard to how it may be impacting the river's ecosystem. Madigan accuses the Trump Organization of failing to study the impact of its operations on fish populations and not getting permits as required by law. The lawsuit complains that Trump Tower continues to take millions of gallons of water from the Chicago River every day without a permit, a process that can draw a large volume of fish into a building's cooling system. For its part, the Trump Organization suggested in a statement that the legal action was motivated by politics. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures up 13 points. Want to look into the future? Join us for Daybreak Weekend, where we set you up for the coming week on Wall Street. Listen in Saturday at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9 on Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing right now, helped by Cisco's earnings and reports China and the U.S. to resume low-level trade talks. Dow futures up 167 points. S&P's gained 14, while the Nasdaq futures climbed by 52. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.88%, and Asia markets fell overnight, while most European markets are posting gains this morning. But note that Italy is down 1%. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims, Philly Fed, and housing starts. And after the bell last night, Cisco did beat estimates. Shares are up 6.9% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, look for JCPenney to report around 7:30. In other news, Starboard reported a 5.8% stake in Symantec. Shares are up 7% in the pre-market. And wrapping things up, Tesla's price target raised to $3.25 from $2.65 at Bernstein. And Kimberly-Clark upgraded to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump is linking his decision to revoke the security clearance of former CIA Director John Brennan to the special counsel's investigation into Russia election meddling and possible ties to the Trump campaign. Speaking to the Wall Street Journal, Trump pointed to Brennan as one of the people he believes is responsible for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Meanwhile, Brennan says Trump's claims of no collusion are hogwash. Brennan told the New York Times in an op-ed piece, "When the head of Russia's Internal Security Service told me in 2016 that Russia wasn't interfering in our presidential election, I knew he was lying." In baseball, the Yankees lost along with the Red Sox. The Mets slammed the Orioles 16-5. The A's, Giants, and Nationals lost. NFL preseason action tonight. The Jets are at the Redskins. The Patriots host the Eagles. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, how much is a 16-year-old BMW worth? One collector at the Gooding & Company car auction in Pebble Beach says this particular car could get $180,000 or 1,100% higher than the Kelley Blue Book value. Gooding says it's the 2002 M5 sedan, considered the holy grail of BMWs. Bob, it has been barely driven with an odometer reading of just 437 miles.
I hope I'm like that, that I increase in value as I get older.
I know I got a lot of miles on me, so yeah. I know where I am. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include word of renewed trade talks between the U.S. and China, President Trump revoking the security clearance of former CIA Director John Brennan, and jury deliberations getting underway in the trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Let's get more on these stories now from Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. Kevin, good morning. Welcome. Let's start with these renewed trade talks set for later this month. I'm noticing that there doesn't seem to be like a tremendous amount of optimism here, though.
No, there does not. We saw the dollar weaken slightly upon news of these trade talks beginning again, but there doesn't seem to be an end point. And in fact, just within the congressional recess, when I speak with Republicans and Democrats alike, they point to this question about what exactly the end goal is with regards to the U.S. and China talking with trade deliberations. Now, these trade talks will begin later this summer. David Malpass at the Treasury Department will be leading them, and it will occur at a time in which the president has sought to attack China in virtually every economic sense that they can. I talked with several administration officials who tell me that they believe they have the upper hand in these trade negotiations. They believe that the economic data supports their claims of that. That said, I can tell you that Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is scheduled to be traveling to the farmland heartland next week in North Dakota, where he will be having a town hall of sorts and be hearing from farmers. And we all know that the agricultural community in particular has had deep concerns about how these trade negotiations are going, so much so that the administration launched a $13 billion aid package to alleviate some of those concerns to farmers.
Now, you talk about that they aren't real clear on what the goal is. Has the president himself said what he wants specifically out of these talks?
To lower the trade gap. That has been something that every time I ask an administration official, what exactly do you want, they say that. And in fact, I spoke with a source at the Treasury Department earlier this week, and I asked that very question. What is the end goal with the U.S.-China trade talks? And what the source told me was, lower the trade gap, get a better deal for Americans. So what exactly that part means, I think there's still some questions about. But again, if you look at the polling here, it's very different than the concerns that we've seen from the business community, because the Republican base is still very much behind this president. And I spoke with one Republican lawmaker earlier this week who even conceded the point that the constituents in the conservative districts are still very much backing the president in terms of how he and his administration are negotiating with China, even as the concerns from the business community, particularly CEOs of businesses and companies that rely on global supply chains that impact U.S. jobs, have real concerns about how this trade dispute, war, call it what you want, will impact supply chains here in the United States.
Let's go from trade to politics now. Yes. President Trump revoking the security clearance for former CIA Director John Brennan. Why did he do this? And this is really unusual, is it not?
It's very unusual. And so typically when a former administration official or intelligence community official leaves an administration, whether it's a Republican or a Democratic administration, they keep their security clearance. They review what is going on with some of these security briefings, and they, should they feel inclined, are able to somehow back channel their thoughts or information that they feel deemed appropriate. Mr. Brennan is someone who has been an outspoken critic of this administration for what he argues is an unfair strategy, communication, call it what you want, with regards to how the president has treated the intelligence community. And the president has threatened to do this for quite some time. And ultimately, it was announced yesterday at a briefing that by White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders that this would, in fact, occur. I talked to some political observers who suggest to me the timing of all of this. It comes about, you know, during a week in which a book by Amarissa Manigault Newman has dominated the mainstream press chatter in August.
Okay, let's move on to jury deliberations beginning today in the trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Tell us what we heard from the prosecution and defense yesterday in their closing arguments.
It was a remarkable closing arguments, particularly as the prosecution laid out their case against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort for allegedly conspiring against the United States. They laid in detailed terms his financial dealings with a pro-faction government, a pro-Russia faction government of the Ukraine, as well as portrayed someone who they believe went to great lengths to hide and cover up his entire financial scheme in terms of his relationship inside the Beltway politics. The defense calling no witnesses, just choosing to cross-examine the witnesses that the prosecution had brought, but tried to do their due diligence in defending Mr. Manafort. I think that as a reporter and someone who has covered this campaign virtually since the beginning and now into the first term of this administration, we have to just note, regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, just how intense it is to have a former campaign chairman charged with conspiring against the United States. This is a case that I think will set precedents for decades to come in terms of disclosures inside of the Beltway of folks who represent foreign governments and are political strategists, putting it mildly, inside of Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
It's 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker.
An analysis by biz2credit.com, a credit marketplace, concludes that annual revenues of women-owned small businesses fell an average $8,000 in 2017 from the year before to about $202,000. Biz2Credit CEO Rohit Arora says the drop doesn't necessarily indicate poor performance of women-owned firms.
But what we are seeing is that the credit scores are creeping up for women-owned businesses. Basically, the women entrepreneurs, as the economy also improves, we are seeing that the credit scores have improved and they are ready to re-enter the credit markets for looking for financing.
Arora says because these businesses are younger, their annual revenue figures would not be as high as those of older, more established firms. It should also be noted that companies owned by men generated about 73% more revenue in 2017, and that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you again. Futures jumping this morning. S&P futures up 14 points. Dow futures up 159 and NASDAQ futures up 53. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. The yield 2.88%. And NYMEX crude oil is little change at $64.99 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.